first episode of the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaida Hijoshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Link to that is in your show notes. Today, we are exploring the world of zeros and ones. We're going to count in binary, dig into bits and bytes, and something called nibbles. Yes, that is a real thing. And if you like what you hear, make sure to leave us a review. Those are really, really helpful. In fact, the first 100 people to leave us a review will get some BaseCS podcast stickers. Details on that are in your show notes. This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halpert, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts. Now, sit back and relax. Actually, no, sit up and pay attention, because we got some learning to do. I'm so glad that we're starting with this blog post, because I think that before you really know very much about computer science or programming, I think a lot of folks have heard of one of these three things, and they feel kind of interchangeable. And even if I'm not totally clear on what the difference between those three words are, I know that they all have to deal with ones and zeros. So what does it mean to deal with ones and zeros and write in ones and zeros?
What it really means is that at the end of the day, everything that you interact with on your machine, be it like a website, a web application, they're all running on binary. So when people say it's all just ones and zeros, they're very correct, because all of the beautiful things that you interact with, whether it's your browser or whether it's like, you know, a graphical user interface or GUIs as we know them, they are all abstractions built upon something that your computer understands as ones and zeros.
Okay. Is that actually true? Is that one of those things that, you know, you kind of tell kids because it's just an easy way to explain away certain things? Or like literally, do you mean that everything we interact with when it comes to software and code, like literally everything boils down to ones and zeros actually?
I mean, it's not even just ones and zeros, right? Like, I mean, you could go into a whole, we could start talking about how the internet works, and then we would talk about how there's like literally just data flowing around us right now as we record this.
Oh, God.
Because you and I both have Wi-Fi, right?
Yeah.
like the fact that there are packets being transferred, and I don't even know that much about those things, but like that's just data like in minuscule forms, and then like your computer receives it, and then it's ones and zeros. Like, and then it gets built up into the things that you see. And it's wild, but it is
really wild.
That is really what it is. And if you start going and looking at the history of computing, why it's ones and zeros starts to make a whole lot more sense.
How so?
If you start looking at how the earliest transistors and circuits, which is what we mostly think of as hardware these days, there was basically like two states that you could ever have, which was you could have like an on state and an off state. And circuits and transistors basically allow you to transmit electrical signals in different ways from like usually an origin to a destination point.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of conduct these electrical waves by having parts of this transistor be on or off. And you can kind of think of them as switches, right? So if you thought of a transistor as like a room where you have a bunch of switches, like the switches that you use to turn your lights on and off. Mm-hmm. And then you are like, okay, we're going to send an electrical signal from one point to another. And this switch is on, so an electrical signal can pass through here. But if the switch is off, then it can't. You're basically controlling the flow of data and information. Transistors and circuits, at their very core, were on-off switches. And it turns out that a really nice way of representing on and off, a very, very simple way, is by saying, if it's off, it's zero. We're going to represent it with zero. And if it's on, we're going to say it's one.
Huh.
And if you work with a lot of lower-level languages in programming, you'll often see that sometimes zero today is used to indicate falsy things, and one is used to indicate truthy things or truthy values.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of like zero being off or falsy and one being on or truthy comes from that. And using binary to represent those things is really why we have zeros and ones, because it comes down to the hardware that all of this was based on.
So first of all, I love the words falsy and truthy. They make false and truth just sound so adorable. But when I think about just having those two states, it's really, really hard to comprehend how just those two values, those two states, can lead to an application like Facebook or, you know, artificial intelligence or all the different amazing things that we've been able to make with technology. How can we possibly combine this idea of false and truth and these two states? How can we possibly use them to even make something as simple as a sentence?
Yeah, that can be very complicated if you start to think about, like, what is in a sentence, right? Like, what are the things that you represent in a sentence? You have words, and you probably have, like, maybe a capital letter, and then you have words, and then you have spaces separating those words, and then you have some sort of punctuation, maybe, or you just have punctuation at the end. But really what you're doing is you're stringing together a bunch of characters. And if you think about it that way, then a space is a character, a period, an exclamation point, question mark, that's a character. Any type of punctuation would be characters. So if you break it down from a sentence into the characters that make up the sentence, then you have a slightly easier thing to work with, right? Because now you're like, okay, we're going to separate it into their own individual parts. But then how do you take those characters and tell the computer, like, hey, use a capital A here. Like, don't use a lowercase a, and don't use a space. Like, I want a capital A. And what you really have to do is you have to be able to translate that A into either some sort of representation of one and zero. But as you can kind of start to see, like, one and zero, those are just two options, right? Like, we can't represent everything with just one and zero. What ends up happening is that we don't represent things with just a one and a zero. For the most part, we represent them as a combination of ones and zeros. And that's kind of why I think it can be hard to think about binary as separate, as its own thing, and why people can kind of look at bits and bytes and be like, oh, that's binary, right? In a way it is, but really bits and bytes are parts of how binary gets kind of built up and how it's used. Binary is the counting system, but bits and bytes are how things that seem as simple as the capital letter A can actually be represented into many different zeros and ones together in a very specific order, so that the computer knows, when I see these zeros and ones in this specific order, I know I'm looking at, you know, or I'm dealing with the letter A.
Okay, so let's distinguish between those three B words. So when we talk about binary, you said that it's a counting system. By that, do you mean just the fact that we only have zeros and ones, or are there more rules than that?
Well, I think the way to think about it is that there is one rule, which is that the type of counting system you're dealing with, and when we are dealing with counting systems, we usually are dealing with, like, a base. The counting system that you're dealing with and its base tells you how many possible digits you can have per place value. So when we say binary, bi is, I think, comes from Latin, maybe, and represents.
Sounds right.
Right? And I was like, it's Latin or Greek. someone knows. But it represents two distinguishable things. So what we can also call binary as is base 2.
Huh.
And so what that really means is, for every single digit in binary, you can only have two possible values ever. and that's it. So basically, when you have a digit in binary, you can either have a one there or you can have a zero there.
Whoa.
And that is what binary really is. It's like, it is a number system where you are limited to only two possible values in any digit.
But then how do you count? Like, how do you say seven if you can only use zeros and ones?
That's a really good question. So basically, you have zero, right? And then you have one. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that you do the same thing that you do when you count in our decimal counting system. So when you get to, like, for example, mm-hmm. the number nine, if I told you, like, oh my God, there's only nine numbers, what do? How would you answer that question?
That's a good point. Now I feel silly.
No, but it's the same rule, right?
But yeah,
it's
to a different place. Yeah.
So you would be like, oh, come on, Vaidehi, that's a silly question. I'm going to turn the nine into a zero and I'm going to add a one.
Yeah.
So in binary, you do the same thing. So when you go from zero, then you go to one, and then you're like, okay, well, I have nothing left to work with, right? I've mm-hmm. used all the possible digits for this place value. I'm going to reset the first digit to zero, and I'm going to add another digit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just continue to do that. Basically, the number zero in binary is zero, and the number one in binary is one. And then we get to the number two, we already have used zero and one. So mm-hmm. in the first digit, you're going to reset it back to zero.
Okay.
And then you're going to add a digit. And if you think about it, like when we count to 10, when we get to nine,
mm-hmm.
we've used all the possible digits, right? Because we only have the numbers 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Right.
So when we get to nine, we're like, well, I'm going to turn this nine into a zero and I'm going to add a one and now I have 10. So then based on that, like what comes after 10?
11.
11. Yes. Yeah. Totally not a trick question.
I got so nervous.
There was a question mark at the end of that. I was like, that was not supposed to be too scary. Sorry. Yes, 11. So if the number two in binary is one and zero, right? Mm-hmm. One after the other. Can you guess what the number three would be?
Is it 1, 1? Is it also 11?
Yeah. It's 1, 1 because what you do is like you added a digit and then you have one and zero,
mm-hmm.
which represents the number two. And then you're like, okay, well, have I used all the possible digits for the first place value? You haven't because mm-hmm. you've only mm-hmm. used zero.
Yeah.
So then you can increment that to one. But then what happens when you get to the number four? Because you've done zero, then you've done one, then you've done 1, 0. Now you've done 1, 1.
Okay, can I guess? Can I guess?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so we're at 1, 1. So we have to reset the digits, the place value. So we get 0, 0, and then we add a digit. So is it 100?
Yep.
Yeah.
You got it. And then
that was totally not rehearsed, by the way. Like, I actually thought that. I'm so proud of myself.
You were so good. I was like, I hope I taught her well. It's like once you think about the rules, it took me way longer, by the way. I was like, was it 0, 0, 0, 1, 0? Mm-hmm. It was really hard for me to learn initially. But yeah, and then after that, you would just go and you'd be like, okay, I have 100. Can I increment any other digit? Can I increment the first digit? You can. So then after 100 would be 101.
Yeah.
And then it would be 110.
10, yeah. And then 111.
Yep. And then you just basically, you keep using all the digits per place value until you're like, okay, I can't. Now I'm going to add a digit and reset.
This is the first time binary has ever actually made sense to me. Like, seriously. Like, every time, because I've read the rules before. I know it's base two. I kind of knew what that meant, but this is the first time. And I think it's because you made the connection of it's just like running out of numbers the way we normally count. You know, what do you do when you run out of numbers? You reset and you add. And that's the thing, too. Like, I never really thought of counting to 10 as resetting the, you know, that ones digit and then adding another. Like, I never thought of the rule that way. But once I made that connection, binary made a lot of sense.
Yeah. And you know what? Like, now that you know that rule, you can basically count in any number system.
Right. Yeah.
Binary is one number system. And then the number system that you and I are familiar with that we learned in first grade is the decimal number system, right? Where you have like the units and tens and hundreds and all of that. That's actually a number system with its own name. Can you guess what another name for it is called?
Base 10.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's also called denary, because I think den comes from I'm going to guess again, Latin.
Probably. When in doubt.
So it's like, you know, the number system that's based on 10 digits. And the 10 digits are 0 through 9, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. You can have a number system that has only 8 digits. So that is counting in octals. Mm-hmm. And you can have a number system that's base 64. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you could have 64 possible digits per place value, which I won't get into today. But it's the same logic of I'm going to use this all the possible values I can for this digit. And when I can't, I'm going to follow the rule of reset, add a digit, and then continue.
Okay. So if binary is this system we described that helps us count, what is a bit? Wait, actually, let me ask you, this is not for the recording. Which one makes sense to explain next, bit or byte?
So a bit is basically that digit that we are talking about. So like we talked about how when you run out of values, when you run out of a zero and then you run out of one for a digit, you increment, right? So each of those digits that we talk about in binary has a name called a binary digit, which we know as bits, which is just binary digit. B-I-T. Mm-hmm. And bits are thrown around a lot in computer science in terms of like, oh, this is, you know, it's a one-bit whatever or something. There is like an album that needs to be made called One Bit Wonder. But
we should make that like an official soundtrack for us. We should do like a holiday season, BCS podcast, holiday album, and One Bit
Wonder. One Bit Wonder. That's great. But a bit is just one digit. And the important part about bits is that one bit on its own can store two possible values. But what makes binary powerful is the fact that a certain number of bits combined together can actually increase how many things you can store. And it becomes really, really efficient and smart for storing values. So 8 bits together, so 8 binary digits, makes 1 byte of information. Hmm. And byte is a phrase that, you know, probably you and I are both very familiar with. But we don't really think about bytes as like, you know, 1 byte. We usually think of them as like megabytes or gigabytes or terabytes. Mm-hmm. But all of those are just, you know, larger versions, either in like the tens, hundreds, thousands, hundred thousands of bytes of information. Mm-hmm. And a byte of information is 8 bits. And what makes a byte so storage and memory efficient is that if you think about the fact that one bit can contain 2 possible values, then the way that we've counted with binary, then we basically are going up exponentially with each digit that we add. So if 8 bits make a byte, then that means we have 2 to the power of 8 possible values and permutations that we can store in a byte. And the reason it's 2 to the power of 8 is every single digit can have 2 values, right? 0 and 1. And there are 8 possible, 8 digits that we can fill up. So we have 2 to the power of 8 permutations, since there are so many possibilities of, you know, as you get up to 8 digits, how many different ways can you put zeros and ones in there? Mm-hmm. And that actually ends up being 256 permutations, which means 1 byte of information can store 256 different versions of zeros and ones in a certain order together.
Okay, so let's walk through an example. So if we said we wanted to represent the number 2 in binary, we talked about how that would be a 1-0. Mm-hmm. So is that 1-0 combination a bit?
The 1 is a bit and the 0 is a bit.
Okay, so each individual thing is a bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so if I have 1-0, 1-0, 1-0, 1, like, you know, 8 numbers of those, mm-hmm, then that combination is a byte.
Yes, because you have 8 digits and those 8 digits together will make 1 byte.
Okay, and then when we talk about the number of different representations of a single byte, we have 256 options, 256 types of things that a byte can represent.
So you have 256 possible different versions of how zeros and ones can be put together to create some sort of number.
Yeah, some type of, some data piece.
Yeah, because like if you start thinking about like exponents, so 2 to the power of 0, this one I always forget, but 2 to the power of 0 is 1, and then 2 to the power of 2 is 4, and 2 to the power of 3 is 8. And then if you start doing that, keep going up, 2 to the power of 8 is 256. So basically what you're saying is when I have only 2 to the power of 1, I have 2 possible things that I can represent, which makes sense, right? Because if you have 1 digit, how many possible things can you represent?
2, because it can be either a 0 or a 1.
Exactly. So when you have 2 digits, how many possible permutations can you represent?
4, because each place has 2 options. So
yeah, 2 to the power of 2. Mm-hmm. And then when you have, for example, 3 digits, you have 8 different versions, 8 different permutations. So you could do like 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1, 1. Then that's only, I think I've done 6. So there's still 2 more.
Okay. So for a byte then, if we had 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, that's 1 byte. That's 1 like version of a byte. Mm-hmm. And then if we had 0, 1, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0, that's another version of a byte. And we have 256 versions of those.
Exactly. Yeah. You have 256 different ways that you can combine zeros and ones using 8 digits.
So with those 256 options, does each byte always represent a number, a letter? Like what are these different versions supposed to tell us? Like what information is available through a byte?
You can store anything in a byte. But really, what I think for the most part, when you think about what bytes contain, like a single byte,
right,
you're really containing like a character.
Okay.
For the most part, a single byte only contains that. And then you start getting into like, you know, an image or a page of text takes more bytes. You can kind of start to imagine how many bytes you would need. If one character is represented with 1 byte, then you can imagine how many bytes you would need to represent a sentence and how many bytes you'd need to represent like a 10-page Word document.
So for a single byte, when you say that it can represent a character, do you mean like letters? Like A, B, C, D characters?
Yeah. And that's kind of diving a little bit into like the ideas of encoding. Mm-hmm. And you can also obviously represent numbers too with that, right? Mm-hmm.
So obviously there are more than 256 numbers that we can possibly put together. So if I wanted to put together the number, I don't know, 1,000,002, how would I use bytes for that? I guess I would have to do combinations of bytes to get to that number?
Yeah.
Okay.
After you get past 256, you would like need to add on another byte.
Mm.
And the number you would represent would grow.
Mm-hmm.
But like, for example, if you wanted to count to like 114, you could represent that within 1 byte of information. And that would actually be the number 111,0010.
So is there some type of table or conversion chart or something I can use that tells me what these different 256 different combinations represent? Like how would I, if I wanted to learn what all of these things are, how would I find that out?
Yeah, there's definitely multiple ways to know how to convert between binary and character. There's lots of forms of encoding, and I think we're going to talk about that in a later episode, but for the most part, there are charts and like kind of conversion tables to know how to do this because you and I don't really think about how to do it in binary,
right,
and that's been abstracted away. So we don't have to worry about how to do that.
Mm-hmm. Very cool.
An interesting thing, which I thought was really cute when I learned about it, is that 8 bits make 1 byte. But if you have 4 bits, which is half of a byte, the term for that is called 1 nibble.
Oh my God, that's adorable.
Yeah, so if you have like half a byte, you have a nibble. Isn't that great?
That is so cute. Wait, so then if I have a byte, can I just say I have 2 nibbles?
You could, yeah.
Yes. That
you,
is...
you could really confuse someone and be like,
yeah.
So let's talk about this, you know, how much space is going to take up in nibbles.
I don't know why everything isn't in nibbles. That's such a better name than bytes. Oh, my goodness. That is so cute.
It's pretty good.
So in this episode, we talked about binary and how to count. And I'm so, so glad that you finally explained it to me, or someone explained it to me in a way that actually made sense. And I'm so excited for everything I learned. But we focus this episode mostly on numbers and how we're counting with different numbers and how we're converting between bits, bytes, and binary's role in all that. But we didn't really get into details about how to express a whole sentence or a paragraph or a book or things more complicated. And we're going to talk about that in the next episode. And that's our first episode of the BaseCS podcast. So let us know what you think. Make sure to leave us a review and tell your friends about it. To learn more about bits, bytes, and binary, make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post. A link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I helped make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee. Next episode, we'll dig into encoding, so make sure to check that out when it drops. Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening.